Hello, we're studying the book of Luke. We call it Lessons from Luke. We're in chapter 5. Stay tuned for our program. Reading in Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," that is, upon Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." This is really an interesting story. These people were not just fishermen in some little fishing boat, you know, that would, you and I might go out fishing in. This was a fishing business. It was an industry. They were partners. And it was commercial fishing that they were doing. As we open this story, we find that Jesus is on the shore. These men are, they've been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything, and they're washing their nets. We read, first of all, in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1, the people pressed upon him, that is, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God. Now, I have to ask the question, why did they do that? I don't have that problem today, and I think most pastors today are saying the same thing, if they're honest. The crowds are not coming to hear the word of God today. Well, no doubt none of us are even close to preaching like Jesus preached, so they'd be interested in listening to a preacher like that. But in Mark chapter 4, verse number 20, Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, the seeds, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, he said they were coming in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 to hear the word. In Mark 4 and 20, he said, "The seeds that were sown on the good ground, these are the representing the people that hear the word and they bring forth fruit." But in Mark 4 and 18, he said, "Those that hear the word, same phrase, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So here we have one group falls on good ground, the seed representing the word of God, and that brings forth fruit. Here we have another group, because of the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of sin and the desires for other things, those choke out the word, and so as a result it is unfruitful. In Matthew 13 and 13, Jesus talked about those that were hearing and they hear not. In 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3, in this age of apostasy that we're living in right now, Paul refers to the time, and he's talking to pastors, so we'll have our eyes open about this. He says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust or their own desire shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Ezekiel had that problem way back in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning to read at verse 30, we read, "And God said, And also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee. In their houses, he said, they speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. They hear my words, but they will not do them." Sounds like 80% of the people who are sitting in our fundamental independent Baptist churches these days. They hear the word, but they will not do them. And, they're quite happy as long as you just preach the smooth things. Don't go preaching anything that, you know, like we used to preach back in 1945. Well, in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 28, Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." James put it this way in James 1 and 22. He says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." He said, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, James 1 and number 25. Well, in our story here in Luke chapter 5, I want to get a big picture here. I like to talk about the bigger picture, read a verse. We need to look at the context of the verse, and we need to look at the content of what is being said. It says here, as we've said in verse 1, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. What kind of listeners were they? Well, we find that not too far down the road, they're all crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so many times we read in the New Testament, they came because of the miracles which he did, or the bread which he fed them. They didn't really want to hear the word. They were those who were hearing the word and doing not, for the biggest part. But there was some other people here in this scene as we come into Luke chapter 5. And it says that Peter and Andrew and James and John are fishing here. Now, they had previously been called to follow the Lord. Why they went back fishing, I have no idea. I think maybe too much pressure. Maybe their wives are concerned about how we're going to eat. I don't know. But they went back fishing again. And we see here that they fished all night. And they caught no fish. And Jesus was there on the shore. These men had come in. They were washing their nets. And the people were crowding around to hear what Jesus had to say. Well, Peter's finished cleaning his nets, and he's listening to Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, may I use your boat?" Well, sure. Well, now we have Jesus and Peter in the same boat. And it's Peter's boat. That's amazing that God would do that, and he did. Well, what we have here is Peter and the Lord very close together, and Peter is getting the full force of the message that is being preached. And we don't know for sure what the message is or was, but we do know that it had an amazing effect before we get to the end of the chapter. Now in verse 4, we read, "Now when he," that is Jesus, "had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Well, Simon has been fishing all night, and Simon's a veteran fisherman. He knows how to fish. And he says in verse 5, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." Now, fishermen know that you don't fish in the daytime. In the daytime, it's very hot over there. The fish go down deep. They're hiding in the cool water, so you're not catching any fish in the daytime. And so he says, "We fished all night. We couldn't even catch him at night. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, there you go. I think that's so good. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now, it was a big job to get those nets back in the water. And not only that, they had already cleaned them. We're causing a lot of extra work here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Well, When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Now, as I said, this was a fishing industry. They would take these nets, and they would go, some say as much as a half a mile, taking the net into a big circle with these two boats to get the fish in the middle. And they said, come and give us a hand. We got a lot of fish over here. Now, Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night. He wasn't really anxious about doing this again, but he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now notice that. It says in verse number 4, Jesus said, let down your nets, plural. Peter says, I'll let down one. I will let down the net. Now, Peter responded after hearing that message that Jesus had preached in the boat, for somehow he had gotten the fact in his head again that he really should be doing what Jesus says to do. Well, verse 6 says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. They should have listened more carefully. He said, put down the nets, plural. Well, they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came, and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink. They began to sink. We read about Peter walking on the water, and he began to sink. I wonder if his mind went back to that day. Well, Peter was obedient. He let him use his boat. He put down at least one net. And when you obey God, it's better to obey completely than to just partially obey. But here we have Peter doing what he's supposed to do, and he receives a tremendous blessing as a result of obeying the Lord. It always happens. Noah, I want you to build a boat here. I want you to build this ark. Yes, sir. He spent 120 years building that ark. Great blessing at the end of it all. Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go as I told you to go. You know what? Today, Abraham's glad he did that. Joshua, I want you to walk around the walls of Jericho, and when I tell you to blow the trumpet, blow the trumpet. Well, that doesn't, you know, I mean, build an ark? You want me to leave Ur of the Chaldees and head out, don't even know where I'm going? You want me to just walk around a wall? That's not how you win a battle. They could shoot us from the wall. Get in. I want you to beat that enemy. I want you to go get them. But you got too many people. Get rid of them. Get rid of a whole lot of these people. Well, sometimes, you know, like Peter saying, well, we don't catch fish in the daytime. You know, Abraham and Noah and Joshua and Gideon and everybody else in the Bible and everybody else in the world who did what Jesus said to do was blessed for it in this world and happy about it when they got to the next one. Well, we see that, first of all, that Peter, he's listening now. He's being obedient even when he doesn't understand. And then we see Peter sees his sinful condition. He says in verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Well, he falls down in repentance. There's more verses in the Bible about Christians repenting than there is unsaved people repenting. Now, I know the devil is using some of our fundamentalists to say we don't need to repent even to get saved. You know, Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. What part of that's too hard to understand? But there's more verses in the Bible about Christians repenting. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way. And well, Peter falls on his knees. And this is the great thing about Peter, is Peter, when he saw what he was doing wrong, he was so quick to repent. He denied Jesus the night he was crucified, and then he went out and wept bitterly. And then Jesus said when he arose, tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen from the dead. Yeah, that's what we need here. He repented. Well, he realized his sin, and what began as another wasted night, fishing and catching nothing, finished up with a message from the Lord. Peter realized his lack of faith. He realized his neglected priorities in life and his purpose in life. He was missing it all. And so Jesus said unto him, verse 10, Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, Peter had caught a lot of fish that night. You know, he could have had it in mind, wow, I got more fish here than I've ever caught in my life. I can get all those things I always wanted to buy. I got enough fish here to retire. He could have looked at it that way. He didn't even think that way. After being with Jesus in that boat, after being close with him, he began to realize that the eternal things were so much more important than the temporal things, and Jesus was offering him an offer of a lifetime. Simon, you don't have to follow me, you get to. He understood that. And in Luke 5:11 we read, and when he had brought the ship to land, when they brought the ship to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. They followed him. Well, they forsook all. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to become a Christian. Jesus paid that. He totally paid that. But it's going to cost you something if you want to be a disciple. And that's why Jesus said, if you're going to be a disciple, count the cost. Count the cost. And we need to count the cost either way. You're either going to miss an offer of a lifetime and spend your life wasting here on the things of this world that are temporal rather than eternal. Count the cost. But if you're going to serve Jesus, then you're going to be considered crazy in the eyes of most of the people in the world and half the people who call themselves Christians. But there's a price tag. Count the cost. Well, Peter got a great lesson here. It would be nice if we could look through and say, well, Peter never made any more mistakes. But we get to John chapter 21, and Peter's gone fishing again. Now, I guess they should have got rid of those boats. It says they pulled their boats to land. I don't know, they put them under a tree or something, what they did with them. They should have just got rid of them. But in any event, back in John chapter 21, he's gone fishing again. And the Bible says there that Jesus stood on the shore. And if you read it, he stood there all night, and in the morning he says, have you caught any fish? And again, read the story in John chapter 1, a tremendous story. Peter gets his heart right, he repents again, he gets on his way, and he's doing a great job for the Lord till we get to Galatians chapter 2, and then Paul had to openly rebuke him. He said in Galatians 2:11, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. He was causing the Jews to go astray, and even Barnabas to go astray. And there he had to be rebuked again. And, well, how will Peter respond to all of this? We found when they were traveling, and Peter said to Jesus, you are not going to the cross, far be it from thee. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an adversary. You care about the things of the world and not the things that are eternal. If the Lord didn't go to the cross, we couldn't get saved. But how will Peter respond to that? Well, we find here that he's rebuked in John chapter 21 by the Lord again. He's rebuked by Paul the Apostle. How will he respond? And this is one of the reasons why the Lord used Peter so much as he did. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, after Paul had said he withstood Peter openly before everybody to his face because he was to be blamed, Peter is writing two little books back here in the New Testament. That's an amazing thing. God knew Peter's heart. And he closes out his last words. Here's Peter's last words in 2 Peter 3:15. He talks about our beloved brother Paul, and he talks about the wisdom that God had given unto him. 2 Peter 3:15. Oh, he didn't go off and bent out of shape and upset because Paul rebuked him publicly. He took it like he should have taken it. And oh, that we could just stand, you know, when someone shows us we're doing something wrong in the Word of God, what we need to have is the attitude that Peter had. Well, we're trying to learn some lessons from the book of Luke, and there sure is some great lessons in this chapter. Be sure and tune in for our next program.